A Crazy Classic Life, written by the Patty, read by Mad Nads. Note, title from Janelle Monae's song, Crazy Classic Life. She caught Diana's eyes from across the crowded bar and smiled before vanishing back into the moving throng of dancers out on the floor. Agent Peggy Carter was apparently as bold as reports led her to believe. Diana realized that her own face had pulled back into a delighted smile, and she was delighted, a warm flutter settling right behind her breastbone and beating in time with her heart. It had been years since Steve that she had had this feeling. Her feet were moving before she let herself doubt, heels clicking in time to the band, as she traced the path she'd have taken out of the bar in Peggy's place. She's certain, now that she'd laid eyes on her, that Peggy was like her, kindred in both occupation of subterfuge and of spirit. Agent Carter also had a tale. Two men with pistols stuck into the back of their trousers, and while Diana didn't doubt that the woman could handle herself, introducing herself would be severely hampered if Peggy got shot by either of the men following her. Peggy had everything in hand once Diana turned the corner, but Diana did arrive in time to deflect a bullet shot from a third man that had hidden on the fire escape. Diana used her rope to grab his ankle and pull him from his perch. Diana Prince, while I appreciate the assist, trust I had that sorted. Peggy smoothed down her blue dress. The material hugged all over her curves perfectly. Diana would release, taking it off button by button, but Diana was getting ahead of herself. Of course, Agent Carter. Diana smiled. The follow-through on your punch would have made even my aunt proud. Peggy gave the slightest of smiles, then straightened, tucking a few stray hairs back in place. Well, these gentlemen aren't going to interrogate themselves. If they've not already used cyanide capsules. Diana frowned as she turned the first man over to find froth around his mouth. Seems we're both looking for stray Nazi operatives. Damn. Peggy swore as she checked the other she'd punched and found the same. What about the one you lassoed? Brilliant rope work, by the way. He's still breathing, Diana said, triumphant, then coy. I trust you have a less conspicuous location planned. Otherwise, it wouldn't be my first time in an alley. Peggy flushed ever so slightly. Yes, there is a secondary location. If you'd get his legs, I'd appreciate help to my car. Then you can be on your way. No need, Diana said, lifting him off the ground once she finished her knotwork, carrying him like a suitcase. I'd hate for you to go through the trouble alone. Well, rumors were to be believed about you, Carter said under her breath. I figured you for a well-researched woman, Agent Carter. When you've seen miracles, a goddess is hardly a stretch, she said. And Peggy, please. Peggy. Diana smiled, placing the man in the trunk of Peggy's car. It would be an honor to assist you this evening, and then take you to breakfast. A bit forward, perhaps. Peggy said, blush on her cheeks, slamming the lid. Is it? Diana asked, stepping into Peggy's space, smiling as Peggy's breath caught, as Diana caught her mouth in a chaste kiss. Perhaps, Peggy spoke, her breath a light puff against Diana's chin as she pulled back and straightened. On how efficient we are getting information from the man in the trunk. Peggy checked her lipstick in the car's side mirror and opened the driver's side door, sliding into the seat. Diana couldn't keep the grin off her face as she opened the passenger door. "I think we're off to a great start, Peggy Carter." Peggy smiled and mirrored her own as she pulled out onto the street. "My love, it's not that I don't like a good party," Diana said, snagging a flute of champagne from a passing waiter. "But?" Peggy asked, her attention focused on assessing the room, eyes narrowing suspicious at the gentleman at the bar. Diana was certain that she'd also spotted all the ex-military security guards, of which there was an excessive amount. She had yet to spot a guest that would warrant such a force of muscle. "Probably someone very small and insecure," Diana mused, making note of two guards on the balcony she'd missed in her initial sweep, and realized they were patrolling at random intervals now, instead of the standard sweeps they'd engaged in the last hour. "Interesting." "Darling," Peggy said, giving a little nod to a tall black man being led toward the back hall by two heavily armed, generic-looking men. "Would you mind terribly collecting Hardison? It seems he's not impressed all the hired help. Try to be discreet." "Use a silver tray as a projectile one time, and you never hear the end of it," Diana said, rolling her eyes and fighting a smile as Peggy chuckled. "And where will you be off to?" Diana asked, depositing her glass on a different passing waiter's tray. "To find the other ducklings," Peggy said, pulling her in for a quick kiss. "Meet you on the corner in 2 minutes." Diana made her way to head off her target, only to get there in time for a long-haired man to punch the second of the two guards to the floor as Hardison stood gingerly rubbing his chin. He must have taken a hit before his muscle got there. "Well, the night has gotten far more exciting than I expected," Diana said mostly to herself. The man flipped his hair back with his hand and glowered at her as she approached, squinting at her. "Oh, wow," Hardison said. Noticing Diana, his friend promptly ignored her and went to check Hardison's chin. "Damn it, Elliot, I'm fine, he just clipped me." "Damn it, Hardison, hold still," Elliot grumbled, watching Diana from the corner of his eye. Before Diana could introduce herself, she heard the quiet shift of fabric of one of the tapestries behind her and the snick of a safety being switched on a gun. She turned, pulling her wrist up, and deflected a bullet that would have struck Hardison square in the chest with one of her cuffs. "Excuse me," Diana said, and launched herself at the tapestry. Tackling the shooter to the floor, she punched him unconscious in one swift movement, and then unloaded his gun, and then warped it in her fist. "No way," Hardison said, somewhat breathless, as Diana stood looking for any other lurkers wishing to cause some harm. "Yeah, way," Elliot grumbled, bodily putting himself in front of Hardison. And Diana was so charmed by the camaraderie. Those are some very distinctive cuffs." "Indeed," Peggy said, appearing with a blonde woman in tow. "Come, before our marks spots the rest of us." "Hi, Aunt Peggy," Elliot said, somewhat chastised, his shoulders hunching and taking Hardison by the elbow. Elliot, love, I'm so glad to see you. Peggy smiled at him, eyes crinkling at the corners. You are looking well. I certainly could say the same thing, seeing as how you look younger than me. Elliot gave a rueful smile. Ah, another lost kid who calls you aunt, Diana grinned. Peggy had quite a few of those, and they all were a pleasure to get to know. She couldn't wait to find out the connection here. She suspected James Barnes was somehow involved, or at least his genetics. I have so many questions, Hardison said to the hallway at large. And we'll all get answers, just not here, the blonde beside Peggy said, giving a nod at Elliot, who took point and led them out the service exit as Diana brought up the rear. Diana had been afraid this party was going to be one of the boring parties where they had to rub elbows, where nothing exciting happened. She hadn't wanted to attend, but Bruce called and asked personally. Besides, it was for the Wayne Foundation of Pediatric Care, and Bruce knew she had a soft spot for kids. She'd much rather have donned her armor and made an appearance at the hospital wing, though. She probably would before they left town. She did like how radiant Peggy looked, regardless of the venue, and tonight was no exception. They'd both chosen complimentary sequined dresses, and Peggy glowed in silver to Diana's gold. Lucky for the both of them, they'd managed to find a corner of entertaining criminal element. Diana considered alerting the authorities, but thought she'd leave them to their little job. She was pretty sure who their mark was, and felt he deserved to part with a little money. I met your brother once, Peggy said, her face usually composed, but Diana remembered that day and knew exactly how annoyed Peggy still was about the whole ordeal. Oh? Debbie Ocean asked, her face resigned in a fond sort of way. Yes, she called him a real tosser, Diana confirmed, keeping the smile off her face at the memory. Granted, his friend stole her watch. She threatened them both bodily harm. Well, he always did find an odd way to attempt to be charming, Lou said, rolling her eyes and offering a toast. Rest his soul if he is actually dead. Probably, Debbie allowed. Speaking of dead, hey, wasn't there a big state funeral involving you, Director? Rumors of my death, Peggy dismissed. And yes, I look amazing. Of course, Lou said, taking a sip of champagne. You do make that dress a dream. Are we really just overlooking the fact that we're talking to an immortal Amazonian princess and her 100-year-old girlfriend who doesn't look 100 years old? Amita asked in a not-so-quiet whisper. Yep, Eight Ball answered, rolling her eyes and adjusting her dress. Oh. Amita nodded and muttered, sure, this is no big deal. Fine, okay. Peggy saved them all from any additional awkwardness by pointing out, well, 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 isn't that your mark? Bingo, Lou said. Daphne, Debbie turned to the lovely brunette in question. Yeah. Go flirt and be handsy so Constant can lift his phone. She dismissed and sauntered off. We'll leave you ladies to it. Peggy gave a nod, hooking Diana's arm in hers. Oh, love, are you afraid I was admiring Daphne's assets? Diana purred into Peggy's ears as she led them onto the dance floor. Maybe I just want to be a little distracting on my own, Peggy allowed. You remain plenty distracting, my love, Diana said, giving Peggy a twirl and falling in step with the band, followed by a long appreciative look up and down Peggy's body. As do you, Peggy said, blush coloring her cheeks ever so slightly, and turned her head to catch Diana's lips in a quick kiss. As she pulled away, Diana couldn't help but smile. She loved when Peggy honored her by kissing her in such a public setting. Every kiss would always be a gift, but this was a treasure and shined as brightly in her heart as Peggy did in her dress. The air of Wakanda reminded Diana of Themyscira. Something was bright and vibrant, everything teeming with life, strong warriors and open hearts. She loved Paris and their flat, and how it didn't remind her of Steve at all most days. But traveling to Wakanda on these art recovery trips continued to be a breath of fresh air. The trips to the palace put her in mind of her youth so much that she was almost heartsick. Maybe she needed to visit soon, if just to see Peggy spar with the Amazons and have her mother roll her eyes at her. Diana finished with her meeting with T'Challa, dropping off the last of the Wakandan artifacts from the Louvre, and stopped to admire the view of the Terrace where Peggy would land. She and Nakia had been out looking into the vibranium theft. Well, Peggy was supposed to be shadowing Nakia and not punching anyone in the face for being a fool. But Peggy remained strong-willed. Diana wouldn't expect anything less of her love. Across the Terrace, Shuri sat with her long legs dangling over the edge and looking, well, not sad exactly. Wishful, with a touch of longing, perhaps. Diana remembered bumping into Shuri with another young woman last week. MJ, if memory served. Ah, she thought, choosing to cross the Terrace. Young love. I probably have a similar face for Peggy. Princess Shuri? Diana greeted, giving an exaggerated curtsy that caused Shuri to giggle. Do you mind if I sit? Princess Diana. Shuri smiled, giving an elaborate hand gesture. Pull up some Terrace, as they say. Diana sat, mirroring Shuri's position, kicking her feet and being glad she was wearing sandals with straps today. Diana liked that they made it a game each time they greeted each other. Shuri just liked to make her brother roll her eyes at their antics. Diana remembered what it's like to carry so much responsibility at a young age. She always treasured the times Antio treated her with a little silliness. Your country is quite beautiful, Diana said. This city in particular makes me heartsick for home. You just like sparring with the Dora Mirage because they can almost keep up with you, Shuri chided. It is an honor to spar with them. Diana schooled her face and confided. Besides, I think they go easy on me. Shuri's laugh echoed out into the wind. "Sure, princess, sure." They fell into a comfortable silence, and Shuri's face slipped into the wistful set of before. "You know you can talk to me," Diana said after a few minutes. "I know what it is to have obligations and miss someone." "Right, of course, sure," Shuri said, nodding, then paused. "Wait, what do you mean, miss someone? I do not miss anyone," she sputtered. "Oh, well, my old eyes must have imagined the longing looks between you and MJ," Diana said, fighting a smile. "My mistake, clearly." "It's not like it's like that yet, you know," Shuri explained. "Or at least I don't think so. I might would like it to be, but she was just here for one of our STEM programs. It would be a conflict of interest or something." "Did she really look at me longingly?" "Yes, she did. She likes you. And before you ask, yes, she likes the you that is brilliant and kind, and not the princess part. She thinks you're cute. Don't overthink and overdesign a complex problem when it is as simple as possible love." "I'm pretty sure there's nothing simple about love, Diana." Shuri frowned, but there was a hopeful glint in her eye. Diana reached out and took her hands and met her eyes. "Well, yes, love can be complicated and maybe a little scary when you don't know all the variables, but I believe it is worth giving a chance," she said, giving Shuri's hands a little squeeze. "I will consider what you've said," Shuri said, somewhat formally. "Just call her. She thinks you're cute," Diana said, releasing Shuri's hand and standing as a jet she'd been waiting for arrived. Shuri rolled her eyes as Diana gave a deep bow. "Princess, I bid you good evening." "Go kiss your wife," Shuri dismissed, fighting a smile to the sound of Diana's laughter. The jet touched down without a sound, and Diana couldn't help the smile on her face as Peggy walked down the ramp beside Nakia, smiling at Diana in turn. Her cargo pants had splotches of dried mud, and she had a touch of mud on her cheek. Diana's breath caught with how beautiful she was. Maybe because she looked like she had a triumphant and dirty trip. Diana looked at Nakia, who nodded back as the woman walked by. Shuri had jumped up to greet her and was pelting her with questions about the piece of tech she'd sent on the trip with them. "Let me guess," Diana quipped. "Bar fight." "Undoubtedly." Peggy rolled her eyes and grabbed the lapel of Diana's shirt. "Now, come here, love." Diana cupped Peggy's face with a hand as she leaned down and kissed Peggy thoroughly. "Well, this is certainly a change of venue from our usual dates," Diana said, taking in the sight of the rundown bar. National City had been full of surprises. This bar had not only had atmosphere, but Peggy had never seen anywhere with so much alien clientele. The place was teeming with as much life as New York in any age. She collected their drinks and walked over to their booth. Before she could slide in, Diana's breath caught. Peggy let herself relax when she saw Diana's growing grin. "Love, what is it?" "Did you not see who is at the bar?" Diana asked, excitement lacing her tone. "I've noticed quite a bit," Would you care to enlighten me as to why you look like Christmas has come early? Peggy shifted to take stock of everyone at the bar and noticed a woman downing a bottle of whiskey with relish. Slamming the bottle down, she wiped her mouth on the cuff of her armor. The woman looked familiar, perhaps in an Asgardian sort of way. "That woman is a Valkyrie," Diana said, breathless. "I've heard stories of them as a girl. They inspired me to fight just as much as the other Amazons." The woman, perhaps feeling Diana's attention, turned and gave them both a once-over. She smirked in response when Peggy narrowed her eyes at her. "An Amazon?" the woman said. "I thought you lot stuck to that island." She reached over the counter for another bottle of whiskey, and the bartender made no move to stop her. She strode over to their table, hips swinging in time with the beat of the music playing from the jukebox. Diana stood and gave a bow. "I am Princess Diana of Themyscira, and I am honored to meet a Valkyrie of Asgard." "A princess, eh?" "Yeah, I know a prince. Big deal." Valkyrie shrugged, but the corners of her mouth ticked up ever so slightly. Diana, at her most excitedly sincere, was always hard to dismiss. Diana grinned and asked, "Would you like to spar? I've heard stories of your legend. You are revered by the Amazons." Valkyrie's cheek colored, and a blush enough for them to see. "I know that exact feeling, dear." Peggy gave her a pat on the arm. "If memory serves, there is an abandoned warehouse next door. Love, don't knock down any support beams or load-bearing walls. I'll not have a repeat from last time with Steve." "As you wish." Diana rolled her eyes, but she was smiling as Peggy pulled her down for a deep and long kiss. Peggy sighed as they walked out. This meeting would probably lead them to ending up halfway across the universe, setting up a new intergalactic order of women warriors. Peggy couldn't wait. She'd gladly go anywhere, as long as Diana was at her side. The end.
Baby, if we were a melody, we'd be one hell of a catchy song. And baby, if we were a movie, we'd be the one the world was raising.